Quran, Tafsir, Ahadith. Pure and authentic. Live on Radio Islam International. The world is our community.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and a warm welcome to this week's edition of Living the Legacy. Each week we explore what our legacies are and what they can be, and we hope to live that legacy and leave it behind as the servants of Allah, inshallah. Our topic for this month of November is about valuing yourself. And our producer has been working hard to bring together the best people in the field to help us grow ourselves and improve on ourselves, inshallah. Our guest today, and what a pleasure it is to have her on the program, alhamdulillah, an inspirational figure, changing people's lives every single day. Her posts are extremely inspirational too. Sister Zeenat Ghani, an internationally certified, licensed and accredited NLP practitioner and NLP transformative life coach and facilitator. Zeenat has coached in Italy, Bali, Turkey, London, New York and the UAE. She does Skype, individual and corporate sessions as well. What an honor. Zeenat, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to Radio Islam.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Rehana. Jazakallah so much for having me on your show. I'm filled with a great sense of gratitude. So thank you to you and the team at Radio Islam, and most of all the listeners who have tuned in with their invaluable, precious time.
Alhamdulillah. Now, Zeenat, we often hear the phrase, value yourself. But what does that mean? When we hear value yourself, what are we meant to do? What does it mean?
So, Sister Rehana, you know, as an NLP transformative life coach, right, I believe that valuing yourself is essentially understanding your own worth, your own solitary purpose in existence, and knowing that just being human comes with so much potential and so much purpose, that appreciation of being in this experience and knowing that we are not a body with a soul, but rather a soul with a body. That for me is the essence of truly valuing oneself.
That's so powerful, mashallah. Let's talk self-esteem. What would the qualities be of a person with low self-esteem? And then the qualities of someone with a reasonable level of self-esteem.
So, you know, if we look at just the meaning of the word self-esteem, right? What it actually means is having the confidence in one's own worth, one's own value, and one's own identity. So you can actually tell from that alone the qualities of a person that has low self-esteem and the qualities of a person that has high self-esteem. Now, in the essence of who we really are, you know, there's so many chain of events that occurred in this miraculous experience of us just walking on this earth and our Creator just creating us so beautifully. We should actually never have low self-esteem. The problem with low self-esteem is, I believe, comparison is the thief of joy. And we would only have a lack in confidence or low self-esteem if we started comparing ourselves to others or started adhering to other people's expectations of us.
That's powerful when we're talking about self-esteem issues and comparison. I think in the world we live in today, so many of us are caught up in that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to self-esteem, what are some of the problems that are associated with it? Specifically, we're talking low self-esteem.
So I think, you know, in this millennial or Gen Z age that we live in today, right, there is a lot of comparison, like I said before, especially from the proliferation of social media. And today, a lot of people base the quality of the or the value of their lives or who they are on what they're comparing to on social media. And as I mentioned before, that comparison is the thief of joy. And like, for instance, if I, as a life coach, now compared myself to other life coaches that are marketing themselves on social media or flying in private jets and coaching celebrities, I would also then feel low self-esteem. But that's all a perception. And really, at the end of it, perception is just deception. And I think that's, you know, really, really of paramount importance is not the value you hold about other people and other things, but rather the essence and the value you hold about yourself. That internal dialogue, that identity and that image that you hold about yourself, I think is the most crucial element in determining the concept of self-esteem.
Such a refreshing perspective. Can a person have too much of self-esteem? You're the expert in this field. Can a person have too much of it?
You know, I think it probably comes from too little self-esteem, actually. So what happens is then we tend to overcompensate. So I don't think you can have too much self-esteem, but I think when we overcompensate and we try to compare ourselves to others and try to live up to others' expectations of us, we might then actually damage ourselves in the process. So we might then overcompensate. So I think when people are just naturally themselves, you know, comfortable and you know, comfortable with who they are and comfortable in whatever they've achieved and comfortable in whatever destiny has been written out for them, and they surrender to this process, that alone for me is the highest level of self-esteem.
Wow. I love how you say, you know, comfortable with their destiny and surrendering. And that's really what Islam is about. It's always about belief in our qadr and surrendering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
What is Islam? Submission. Mm-hmm. Letting go of the steering wheel and just submitting and surrendering to the process. Because we get so depressed about when we live in the past. Then we get so anxious, we live in the future. But your point of power is in the present moment. Let go of the steering wheel, enjoy the ride.
Wow. What's the benefit? So we may have people who are saying, yeah, well, I know I have low self-esteem, but I'm just not convinced yet. So what are the benefits of having a reasonable, healthy level of self-esteem?
You know, Sasarihana, I often tell my clients and all I engage with that your worth, your value, and your sense of belonging is non-negotiable. In other words, when we fit into other people's expectations of us, right, that part of us no longer belongs to us. It now belongs to them. And that's a betrayal you should fervently refuse to undertake. Because owning who you are, owning your potential, owning your purpose, and knowing your worth. When you love and value yourself, you'll see how it's a boomerang effect. Others will value you too.
Wow. Amazing. MashaAllah. Beautiful. If any of our listeners would like to get in touch with you, be coached with you, or go through any of your programs, what's the easiest way for them to get in touch with you?
Okay, so I always tell my clients they can contact me 24/7, 365 on 082-7499-786. Or they can check out my profile on Instagram at ZeniB, that's ZENYB. There's two challenges there also if they want to try out the gratitude challenge, which I totally love, and the declutter challenge. So it's up there as well. It's just wonderful what happens when you declutter on the inside, when you clean this basement, you know, in this all your mental rooms, when you sweep out, when you do a mental sweep, everything else just seems to flow outside of you. It all starts within.
Wow.
And just being grateful. I love that. Soaking into this moment right now and, you know, looking around you and looking at such beauty of nature and just the blessing of being able to breathe and walk and talk and it's amazing. Alhamdulillah.
We're very grateful for your time today, the gems you shared with us. I think really got us just sitting and thinking, you know, and looking at why and how it's so important for us to value ourselves. We look forward to having you on in future again. And Jazakumullah khair for your time. May Allah bless you and help you to grow from strength to strength. Ameen.
Ameen. Same to you, Sister Rihanna. Jazakallah so much again, once again, for having me on your show. And Jazakallah to all the listeners as well.
Ameen. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're speaking to Sister Zeenat Ghani. Sister Zeenat is an internationally certified, licensed and accredited NLP coach. and an NLP transformative life coach and facilitator. She's coached in many places around the world and does Skype individual and corporate sessions as well. Alhamdulillah. And our topic for today was all about self-esteem. With a new series today on the program, and the series is all about valuing ourselves. So each week, inshallah, we'll be exploring different aspects of valuing ourselves. So today we looked at self-esteem, and Zina took us through what does it mean to value ourselves? What are the qualities of people with low self-esteem? What are some of the problems associated with that low self-esteem? And then we asked, can a person have too much of self-esteem? And finally, what are the benefits of having a reasonable level of self-esteem? And she said, you know, take back your power. In the sense, don't let people decide for you and don't let people choose how you should be valued or not. And she said, you know, let go of the steering wheel. We believe in Muslims so strongly in Qadr. And we believe in surrendering. And Islam is all about the surrender and submission. So let go of that steering wheel. We sometimes feel we need to hold on so much. And we end up, as a result, hurting ourselves, devaluing ourselves and others. So just checking to see, do you need to be holding on to that steering wheel? Or can you actually let go in the moment and just be present? Because she said the power is in the present moment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding. Ameen. Now, with a lot of focus around the world in our communities, masajid, Islamic centers, both online and in physical presence, the focus is on seerah. It is on the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also with what's been happening in France and other parts of the world, we notice that Muslims now, you know, are really, I think we've been through the pandemic and everyone has been so involved in their lives. And now is a beautiful opportunity for us to really honor and celebrate our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, every day is about that. And I think every now and then we get shaken up by communities or countries or nations or leaders that speak against our deen or speak against our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam or against our Quran. And we rise up and we rise up in different ways to say and to declare with heart and word and intention that we love our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is more beloved to us than anything, even our own selves and our wealth. So I thought we'd look at reviving a beautiful sunnah today. And the sunnah I want us to look at, to remind ourselves and to implement is that of eating together. Wahsh bin Hawb radiallahu anhu reported, they said, O Messenger of Allah, we eat, but we are not filled. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reportedly said, perhaps you eat separately? They said, yes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reportedly said, eat your meals together and mention the name of Allah over it. Meaning, say Bismillah, for you will be blessed in it. Meaning, there will be barakah in the food that you eat. And this hadith is from Abu Dawood. So what's our action plan here? And that's because we read about the sunnah, we learn about it, we read these ahadith, we listen to lectures and we think, what a beautiful lifestyle. How simple, how practical, so much of barakah. But that's where it stays. We leave it to be that. But instead, if we can extend ourselves beyond that and say, well, I'm not just going to read or listen to this hadith. I'm going to literally live it. I'm going to make that my lifestyle. And starting with one basic principle like this, an easy sunnah, eating together. So how can we make this an action plan? Well, to practice on the sunnah during meal times, families can sit together and eat together, as this will be a means of barakah. And we know that with the lockdown around the world, that's actually made it much easier, where people have been working from home, studying from home, and everyone's at home for pretty much all their meals. So for those few weeks or months, whenever you experience the lockdown in your city or country, you had that opportunity to sit, or have it now, to sit with your family and enjoy your meals together. But if it's such that everyone's gone back to their work and school routines, still try to make that a habit, at least for one meal a day, or as often as you can as a family with your different timetables, sit down and eat together. And this is barakah. It's a time, you know, to spend quality time with loved ones, to strengthen the bonds of love and friendship between family members. But what you can also do as part of your action plan, as part of reviving the sunnah in your life and your home, is to remind others about this beautiful sunnah so that they can also begin this practice and that they can be blessed in their food and their families. And we know that nowadays many of us are on WhatsApp groups and family groups. It's a wonderful opportunity to put that sunnah challenge out there to your family, your friends, to your colleagues, and say, let's set this out as our challenge. That every time it's a mealtime and we're home, more than one person, let's sit down, let's eat together and not eating alone. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding of this. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those servants of His who live by the sunnah. And talking about our duty to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah, to living it and respecting it, let us also be very careful to begin with the duty that we have to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Az-Zumar, ayah number 10, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل يا عبادي الذين آمنوا اتقوا ربكم للذين أحسنوا في هذه الدنيا حسنة وأرض الله واسعة إنما يوفى الصابرون أجرهم بغير حساب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, O my servants who believe, be careful of your duty to your Lord. For those who do good in this world is good, and Allah's earth is spacious. Only the patient will be paid back their reward in full without measure. So these are beautiful reminders for us to not feel sad on losing anything in this life, because whenever a tree loses its leaf, a new leaf is ready to take its place. Similarly, when you lose something in life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces it with something much better than before. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a blessing to a servant, and then Allah takes it away from the servant, and the servant patiently endures his loss, then inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards the servant with a blessing which is far better than the one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away. And always remember, hardships are a test from Allah. They are our building blocks of iman. So when affliction touches us, let us be patient. Let us be steadfast. Let us seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. And let us remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not burden a soul more than it can bear. That Allah does not burden a soul more than it can bear. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding and help us to remember this. Ameen. Now, certainly testing is a station for a while, right? It's temporary. Inshallah, it will go away soon. But remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sends afflictions, these afflictions erase the sins of a believer, just as the leaves fall from a tree. So if for a moment you can just imagine, you can just picture leaves on an autumn day falling from a tree. Yeah? So imagine now that each of those leaves represent an affliction, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is erasing your sins, just as the leaves fall from a tree. Also in a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no fatigue, nor disease, nor sorrow, nor sadness, nor hurt, nor distress befalls a Muslim, even if it were the prick he receives from a thorn, but that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expiates some of his sins for that. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu also narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if Allah wants to do good to somebody, He afflicts him with trials. Sahih al-Bukhari. So subhanAllah, when you're afflicted with trials, remember, Allah brought you to this for your own good and to bless you even more than before. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all those who are going through any trials in their life. Ameen. We go for a break, and in the next segment, we're going to look at how to make our children's hearts come alive with love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. More in our next segment. A warm welcome to this segment, the last segment of today's program, Ahlan wa Sahlan. And today we're turning our focus now to children and their connection to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, the mention of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is always around Muslims, alhamdulillah. But why not organize a week-long family activity around the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why not spend one day of the week per activity and then, you know, devote the whole 7 days to a different project? So you could also incorporate some aspects of each activity that I'm going to share with you daily. But whatever method you choose, these are all small ways to instill a love for the Blessed Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while showing what a critical role his example plays in every Muslim's life. Instead of deciding yourself, why not do a family shura about it? Let everyone sit down with a pen and paper, think and decide together about 7 activities you can do in a week concerning the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So number one is travel with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Get a map of Arabia, or better yet, get the kids to draw or trace one from an atlas. Then note down the different places that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveled to from Mecca or Medina. Each voyage should be researched and presented to the whole family by one person, right? So you get together maybe every evening or morning, and the first task is travel with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So a map, get someone to map out the points that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveled to, from Mecca to Medina, the different places he's been to, the Hijrah route, and then share it with the family, and you get an idea of the travel that he's done during his prophethood. The second is to wake up with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would wake up every day before dawn, before the start of the Fajr Salah, to worship Allah through Salah and Dua and Dhikr. While looking at the sky, he would read the last portion of Surah Al-Imran, thinking and contemplating about the universe and its creator. So this is an excellent way to become closer to Allah at a time when concentration is at its peak, where minds are clear of daily worries. And according to one hadith, Allah is very close to us. Once Fajr time began, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pray and then chat with people who stayed behind for some time. So get the whole family to get up in time to pray their tahajjud and their fajr, and then encourage them to the best of their ability to stay awake and worship Allah as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, meaning waking up the tahajjud and then praying the fajr and staying in dua and dhikr and Quran, and looking up to the sky and reflecting and reciting that last portion of Surah Al-Imran. The third thing that you could do is organize a storytelling night. So this can be done at bedtime, after the kids come home from school, or any other time that you find is conducive for your family. The first step of loving and learning from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his life is to know about him, what made him great. So you can buy children's books about his life, find many of them online. You know, And maybe each person in the family can choose their story to tell. For some, it may be about a miracle. For others, it may be about his childhood or his family. And each person can choose to share that story. The fourth thing that you could do, and I love this idea because it just helps children get closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is sleep like him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to sleep in a unique way, and he would say a dua or two before sleeping. Maybe as a token of your love, you want to try as a family for everyone to sleep like him. Some Muslims do sleep that way all the time, alhamdulillah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know, slept on his right side with his right hand under his right cheek. On his right side with his right hand under his right cheek. He used to make wudu before going to bed also. And he would recite du'as before sleeping and a few short portions of the Qur'an. He would recite the mu'awwadatayn, the quls. He would recite the last two ayat of Surah Baqarah. And that's something you can do with children. You can help them if they haven't as yet memorized the du'as. And if they have memorized the du'as, then understanding the meaning of the du'a. So sleeping the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam slept is a beautiful way to bring children close to the sunnah way. The next is to eat like him. There are reports about the type of food that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to eat or liked the most. So you can make a list of those items. And once the whole family is together and you've got a selection of the favorite foods, why not have one person talk about it and remind everyone of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's table manners? A young person may be the best one to do that. For instance, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised Muslims to eat in a way that after eating, the stomach is only one third full. And we should also wash our hands before eating, recite the bismillah, the dua before eating, as well as only eating with our right hands. These are just some of the ways that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate. So it may involve us to do some research when we look at the list of foods that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate, the foods and drinks that he liked, and then maybe setting up a menu so that you eat the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. I remember a number of years back, I had one of my classes do that. It was the end of the term, and I had everyone in class bring a dish to share. So we had a tradition of having like a potluck, everyone bring something and we share together on the last day of the term. And the theme was to bring any food item that had at least one sunnah ingredient. So this required the students to research what were the sunnah foods, what were the foods that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved to eat and drink. And once we had that list, they could now then look into what foods would they like to bring, what meal, what dish would they like to share with their classmates. And the only requirement was it had to have one sunnah ingredient in it. And in that way, students got really creative and some were very competitive to try and add as many sunnah ingredients as they could. That really was the whole aim, to get people to start stepping out of our comfort zone and truly living the prophetic lifestyle through how we eat. And we then put together, you know, a compilation of all these recipes, and then they each had a copy of them. So there was an opportunity then to apply recipes, all of which had sunnah ingredients in it. So it's much, much easier than we think it is, only it does need effort on our part. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that understanding and that devotion. Ameen. Number six is to pray like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if a person made a mistake in the recitation of Quran, it was corrected by others present during the salah. And that's exactly the way it is done, right? We know, for example, Taraweeh in Ramadan. So during this week, we are trying to do everything like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're trying to teach kids how to live like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have a different person lead salah each day, and then correct their mistakes if they make any. So this will not only be an exercise in one aspect of the sunnah, but it will also teach humility. And the last one is play like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What do we mean by this? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood the importance of fun and games. He would race with his wife Aisha radiallahu anha, who used to beat him most of the time. He would swim and wrestle with his companions. He would joke with them too. He played with and loved children. So we should not forget this aspect of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. So, you know, set up a swimming pool, get the kids into swim class, enroll them into fun activities like horseback, you know, horse riding or archery, a race with your spouse. These are all from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And ultimately, to make his lifestyle ours and to bring our children close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The more they know about him, the more they understand about his lifestyle, the more they understand how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived, the more they will love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the more they will be eager to follow his sunnah, and the more they will honor and respect and celebrate the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life and his legacy is a source of guidance for us at all times. And it's so crucial for us to reread his life beyond the chronological events of history, but as a source of guidance for positive, practical impact on our community life, family, health, career. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the words, O Prophet, indeed we have sent you as a witness and a bringer of good tidings and a warner, and one who invites to Allah by his permission and an illuminating lamp. Surah 33, ayat 45 and 46. To us, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an ideal husband, father, father-in-law, son-in-law, friend, humanitarian, teacher, counselor, Imam, leader, scholar, strategist, diplomat, and above all, a follower and a servant of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's choicest peace and blessings be upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So as we prepare to conclude on today's program, we're going to share with you a dua for the cure from sickness, a dua for shifa. And this was a dua that Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Qutal rahmatullah alayhi would make often. Oh Allah, we are spiritually sick and we are physically sick. And so many of our brothers and sisters and our parents are sick and ailing. They are in hospitals, some are in nursing homes and old age homes. O Allah, grant shifa to those who are sick and ailing. O Allah, shifa is in your hands. We know that there is effect in dua and there is effect in medication. But O Allah, shifa is in your hands. O Allah, we know that sometimes sickness is a rahmah and a blessing in a disguised form, but we are extremely weak. O Allah, even if such sickness is a rahmah, O Allah, change it to the rahmah of good health. But O Allah, we know that most of our sicknesses, depression and anxieties are because of our sins. O Allah, grant us shifa from all sicknesses and ailments, physical and spiritual. O Allah, bless us with physical health and spiritual health. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant shifa to those, all those who are unwell. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lift this pandemic from the earth. Grant shifa to those that are ill. Grant well-being and afia to the rest of us. And grant maghfirah and jannatul firdaus to those who have passed away. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Do join us again next week as we continue with our series on valuing ourselves. Each week we'll speak to a life coach, counselor, or personal development specialist who sheds light on different aspects of ourselves and how we can build our values, how we can value ourselves, and how we can raise the level of our self-esteem to a healthy level that allows us to thrive in our ibadah, in our work and family life, in our health, in our community, and in our wealth. Until we meet again next week at the same time, stay inspired, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.